The scripture lesson, as you see, is from the book of Matthew, and parts of it you know by heart. And I don't know if you're looking it up, but you're welcome to. And it's entitled in the Bible I'm reading from, the New Revised Standard, I believe it is. It's called The Greatest Commandment. Beginning in verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And that was a quote Jesus was quoting from the Old Testament. And he went on to say, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that, I would just add a comment, everything that was important to the Jewish community, absolutely everything that was important to them, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So it's good, and it seems kind of simple, and it's great to have two commandments and not 10 that we have to participate in, or 143 or whatever, however many commandments you are brought up with. And so, as most people, if you were asked to quickly now, tell me the two great commandments, the two greatest commandments. Many people say, well, you're supposed to love God, you're supposed to love others. That's pretty clear because I read that in the Bible. So, pretty good to go to the head of your class almost. On the other hand, it's certainly correct to say that we should fully care for other people. We should, with our whole heart, love God. And that is one of the more mysterious realities of our Christian faith. With our whole heart to love God, and yet I'm sure, as confident as I am, that many of you, in fact, do that on a regular basis. Just open yourself to God and live that way. But, you know, today I'm going to go to the end of that particular verse and talk about something else when I talk to you about whom do you love. What is full love, and how do we understand that? Because at the end of that verse, we are to love others as we love ourselves. And so I'm going to talk about self-love today. Not going to kiss myself, and I'm not going to hug myself too much, which will make everybody very happy. And me too. So what's the deal with this? You love one others as you love yourself. You love yourself. Well, that's my sermon for today. It's a mystery, and I want to thank you for listening. Well, of course, I have a little more to say about that. You know, as members of the church, the Christian community, we have been taught, and we do serve God with all our hearts and minds and soul, and that is so important. And we look out for our neighbors. And that is very difficult. Especially when Jesus redefined what neighbor is. Neighbor isn't necessarily the person that lives next door to you. We got great neighbors. We love our neighbors. We love the people that live physically near us. But you know, Jesus told the story that implied that your neighbor is a person in need. The person in need is your neighbor. Now that is almost an overwhelming, and I think in some ways it is an overwhelming responsibility that we have. So thank God we have one another and we can pool our resources and in some ways reach needs of people all around the world. All around the world. Our neighbors, some of whom we have never met, some of whom we will never meet. So today I want to emphasize the last part of it, and that is that we're to love ourselves. Now that's a very difficult concept, and I personally would hate to have to define it for you. So I just want to say that many times in the church, the emphasis has been outward. It's been toward other people. We're to serve others, we're to love others, we're to give of ourselves, we're to die to self, we're to work hard, we're to be good, which is always a challenge, and we're to boast not, which harder for some people than others. We'll be not proud, and it goes on. So we need to recognize the power and the truth of all these things. But we have to have some sense of balance. So when we talk of loving God and loving others, we also must talk about loving ourselves or caring for ourselves in a real way. I think that's a triangle of the true strength of love. Loving others, loving God, and loving ourselves. A triangle of strength supported by God in all things, that we might in fact love one another, care for one another, take care of ourselves, and love ourselves in that way. Because if we don't, it's possible things would not go the way that we would like it to go. It may be very, very difficult for some people to feel any kind of love at all. They may be saddled in life by the one they love indeed, they love very much. They love this person, they've loved this person for years. And now this person is very sick. And so the caring partner does everything they can for this person. But it takes a lot out of that person. It pulls them down as well. And there is hard to find balance in a situation like that. Hard to really care for yourself when most of your time is spent caring for the needs of the one that you love very much, the one you do not like to see failing, the one you do everything you can to pull them up, and yet it's difficult indeed. Or perhaps it's a person who is a go-getter and does everything in the church. I mean everything, practically. Everything they can, and there's hardly any limit. And this person always says yes to things if they are asked to do anything at all. And you know, when most people, actually, if someone comes up to you face to face and says, would you do this for me? Well, at least you have to seriously think about it. And some people really have any trouble saying no. No, I don't think I can do that. I just don't think I can do that. Unless they really have a good solid excuse. And so it's easy to get overworked in that way and to run yourself right down, trying to serve others so much that kind of get taken down to nothing. So I just want to say that Jesus doesn't call us to this quasi-like martyrdom or to be a workaholic, but to a real love of self. And so I think if we're going to look at this at all and have any realistic idea about it, let's just say, well, how do we love other people? If we're going to love ourselves like that, well, what do we have to do to love other people? Maybe we have to apply some of that to ourselves. And it's very possible. Well, I love other people by reflecting on their needs. What are their needs? And let's meet those needs. Maybe we can love ourselves by doing the same thing. What are our needs? What needs do we have? Physically, emotionally, mentally, socially, spiritually. What needs do we really have? And what are superfluous to our life? What things don't we really need that we do? But it wouldn't matter if we didn't do these things. We have to think about these things. Considering our own needs, we can find a real love of ourselves. And this is good. We love someone else by spending time with them. Time is critical, time is important. You know, occasionally, because of the work that I do, I've been called to a place where someone is in their last stages of life. And really, there's nothing much that can be done or much that can be said But you know, the presence of a person in time of need speaks more than anyone could ever speak with their voice. It's very important. You gotta have time. You gotta have time for yourself. It's important. Of course, we're always with ourselves, but we need to do those things that are important in our life. We certainly do. So, what needs do we have? Well, I don't know. What is important to you? Is a leisurely walk important to you? A bubble bath? I never could get the bubbles to do much, but a bubble bath could be good. You know, maybe that's important. A good book? Oh, believe me, there's nothing like getting lost in a different life by turning the pages of a good book. It's just a whole different way to live and experience things. My spouse and I, we enjoy going to the movies. We've gone to some movies that we did not like. We've gone to some movies that are serious. But they allow us to experience life without actually having to experience life, if you know what I mean. To do a secondhand, like you see what it might be like. One time we saw a serious movie about the drug trade. Oh, it was serious. It showed people supposedly on drugs, their life, the problems they had. Oh, it was not a place you'd ever want to be. And yet it was informative. It was more than I would have ever thought, and it was helpful to me in that way. So we have to do those things that help us, that inform our lives. Well, we need to love ourselves, and we're called to do that. But we need to clarify what we mean by loving ourselves. There's always a danger of losing the biblical message, of swinging from neglect of self to worship of self. No, thank you. We need to recognize the danger. The me generation has made its presence known in the world today, and there are some good things to be said about it, I'm sure. But their understanding of the source and the purpose and the expression of love for self differs from those that are founded in the church. When I say, which I never say, I love myself, we say so knowing that our love for self is found in God, is found for God, is found through God. When we talk about loving ourselves, we're not talking about a love that's based on our achievements, on our looks, thank heavens, our money, our clothes, or our jobs. Isn't that a lucky thing? Now the world tries to make us believe that our worth, that your worth and my worth, is somehow determined by our doing, by what we do, by what we perform. But we know there's something else to be true. In God's eyes, in our eyes, our worth is given by our being accepted and being loved as a person by God. So when we talk about loving ourselves, we're not talking about a love where the purpose is to glorify ourselves, to exalt ourselves, to puff ourselves in some way. But here again, something else comes into play. There's something very shallow and dissatisfying in being concerned only with oneself. That self-absorption is not enough, not enough at all, to sustain oneself day after day. We need to have a purpose beyond ourselves. We need to reach out to others and to God, but in order to do so, we need to care for ourselves. We need, in that way, to be firmly footed in God and to keep our tanks as full as possible. Absolutely true. From my experience and from the biblical perspective. Finally, when we talk about loving God, we're not talking about a love that allows us to indulge ourselves in whatever fancies at the moment or to do whatever pleases us at the moment. But we express our love in different ways. It's by being, in a sense, responsible and disciplined, and to recognize that as gifts of God. If you were asked to quickly name the two great commandments, would you respond as I would have responded, would you love God and love your neighbor as yourself? I hope you always keep that in mind. If it's any contribution to you at all, that's the contribution I would make to you this morning. As we think about communion, we think about the life of Christ, we think about his dedication and how he gave his life that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Well, praise God. We're called to love ourselves for the sake of ourselves, for the sake of others, and for the sake of the God who loves us. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, we recognize you made us to be individuals that are unique in this world. And in fact, we thank you for that. No two others just like us exactly. And yet we're all kind of the same. So we thank you for the community that you allow us to be part of, for the church. And we thank you that you love us and care for us. And that with your foundation, we are able to go out and do things for all those others in need. We give you thanks always. As in the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.